So Jarrett Martino, writer, director, actor, Donna, Stronger Than Pretty is a film that I've been seeing advertised, that came out 2020 or 2021. But Jarrett, tell me a little bit more about who you are, what you do, what you've been up to. Tell me more about Donna. Tell me more about you.
Sure. Yeah. So, Donna, Stronger Than Pretty came out in the United States, February 23rd of 2021, and then we just had the international release, so we added 64 new countries on July 23rd. And Donna is my mom, so it's her story. It's a women's empowerment story and the escape of domestic violence and making a life for yourself and three children herself. But it's really everybody's story because it's a woman's journey of finding her voice and accomplishing that, being the hero to her own story. It wasn't made to demonize men, but you know, statistically, domestic violence, verbal, emotional, physical, and financial abuse does predominantly happen to women. That said, we've had plenty of men reach out that have found themselves in abusive situations as well. I mean, this is obviously a worldwide issue that's been around for forever. And kind of what we're seeing, although you know, we address in the film, we go from the late 60s through the early 2000s. And in some ways, it's interesting because we've come far in some respects, but in other ways, we're very much still in the same pattern and cycle. And that's really what the film's about, breaking patterns, cycles, not feeding into stereotypes and stigmas. So yeah, I started as an actor as a kid, and then I started producing and directing about 8 years ago now. I was going to James Franco's Playhouse West, and they encouraged us to make our own content. And then yeah, here I am 24 projects later, and I have a production company, a distribution company, and we run two film festivals.
Wow.
No,
So,
it's very busy.
yeah, I mean, and what stood out to me is, as far as women empowerment, what stood out for me in the title was Stronger Than Pretty. Tell me what that means. Tell me what you're trying to get across with Stronger Than Pretty.
Yeah, my mom was a very beautiful woman, and she, you know, was put in the category and looked at a certain way. I remember one time she wanted to be a flag girl before she got her education,
What's
and
a flag girl?
for construction, like you know, on in road construction.
Okay.
It was a union job, and she, you know, she wanted to do that. It was a part of the early part of her journey of becoming independent after she escaped the environment when I was a little kid. And you know, just scenarios like that and situations that as a woman, especially in that time, it was laughable, you know, for a woman to even to apply for a job like that. So I
Construction job,
constantly,
right?
yeah, I mean, even though she wasn't, you know, jackhammering roads, it was still like, oh, well, this isn't a place for a woman. So in that way, we've obviously come with union laws and I mean the employment laws, we've made a little headway. But yeah, I mean that's just the conditioning and the patterns that I was talking about as far as how women are viewed. And I really was attuned to my mom and like what she went through and watching her, because to me she was always the strongest person. But people kind of used or the femininity and the beauty and all that as a way to attack her and keep her down. But you know, the story is celebrating single parents and then children that come from those environments. Because, you know, for the children too, you're put into this category like, oh, you're from a single parent family home. And to me and my siblings, we thought we were the richest kids on the block because, you know, our mom always was doing really exciting things with us. And even if they were free, we were going to free theater shows and, you know, doing different things that other kids weren't doing at that point. So, you know, I wanted to celebrate, like I said, women and the children that come from those environments. Because my mom worked two jobs. She waitressed, she cleaned houses, she went to school full time, she raised three children. And then she ultimately became a public school teacher, which was always her dream prior to even having kids. So to achieve your childhood dream after so many battle wounds, I mean, you know, you're an Army guy, like, you know, after a day of being out in the field, like, it's exhausting. You have all the elements and people and different, you know, scenarios of that can really make you feel defeated at the end of the day. So make it through all that.
And you raise a good point. I mean, when I was, you know, when I was deployed once with the National Guard, and the civilian, you know, my civilian work is obviously film, TV, you know, writing, producing, directing, editing, acting as well. And I'm not exhausted after an 8 or 12 or 16 hour day of doing that because I love it so much. And that, but with the Army, you know, being deployed, there could have been an 8 hour day and I feel drained because it's that. And that's why I've always harped on everyone to, you know, just jump into something that you're going to love, not because your parents told you, this is what we do, this is what's stable, this is what's financially stable, but do what you love, because I'll be on a location for anywhere between eight to 16 hours. And then I'm ready to do it again the next day and the next day and the next day. But then there's some work that's just draining because I'm not enjoying it, you know? So, yeah, I mean, that's, especially with the Army. I mean, I knew what I signed up for and I'm still in the National Guard. So I knew what I signed up for in doing that and so on and so forth. And once you get into a leadership position, then you're kind of excited to mentor other, you know, junior soldiers. But still, it's draining because at the end of the day, it's still not the film. And for me personally, it's not the film and TV. It's not the acting. It's not the set life. It's not the creative production type of life. But yeah, going back to your mom and how you felt like you were the richest kid. I mean, me and my brother, you know, our parents split when I was 16, my brother was 12, I was 16, and our parents split. As far as I know, there wasn't any major abuse or anything. They just didn't get along, so they split. You know, they were always like, you know, arguing and stuff or whatever. But that's where my mother, you know, ended up working full time, taking care of two, you know, insane boys. And still every summer she would take us to Virginia Beach or she would take us to Ocean City or whatever. And it seemed like she had all the energy. She seemed like she was the strongest, you know, broad in the world. And then now in her older age, she's kind of slowing down. She doesn't, you know, she's a little, you know, sad and trying to figure out, okay, you know, what it is I can do now. It's like, you're going to be the strongest grandma now. Like just, and she's like, well, I just don't think I'm as on top of things as I was before. And I'm like, just look back to like how much we did when you worked full time, when you took care of two boys, you cooked every night and you took us on these trips, that trips. You always showed up to this sports practice or this sports game or this other event or PTA or whatever. You're always there every single time. Mm-hmm. You drop, you know, we carpool with other families, but you always took us somewhere. You always picked us up. That's
a hard job. I mean, being a mom is a full-time job, so to compound it with full-time school and work, it's just, it's really, it takes being stronger than pretty, really. And that should be celebrated because, it's not to put down fathers, but, there's just a really important role that mothers play. And I think,
absolutely,
it's more common than we all like to talk about. And it's a subject that gets swept under the rug. So, you sharing your story and inspiring others to share their single parent family home stories in terms of why it is the new normal, because women like your mom, like my mom, like all the other women that made the decision to leave, even if it wasn't physical, emotional and verbal abuse can be just as damaging or more because it's very layered and intertwined, and people don't really even realize what they're in until they have an awakening or they feel sicker than their abuser. So women that had the strength to say, I deserve more, and the self-respect and self-love. And even if it wasn't for them, sometimes it's not for them, it's for their children, because they love their children to the point that they recognize that they don't want their children to ever be in a situation that they were in, and to give them a healthier life. And I mean, that alone is just, I mean, how remarkable, how strong you have to be to say, hey, you know what, instead of doing this as a partnership, I'm going to do this all alone, and provide and do all those really beautiful things that your mom showed up for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, to me, that was always so admirable and should be celebrated, and why I really, through the highs and lows of making a feature film that spans 40 years and a cast of over 250 plus locations, it was a huge project, but it was really important that it was accomplished.
Yeah. So talking about the production, when did you wrap production? If you don't mind me asking, how were you impacted by the quarantine? Because from what I can remember, I remember seeing all the promotion for Donna like start maybe during the start of quarantine, and so you must have wrapped it.
Yeah, we wrapped in like in 2019. But this has been a project in the making for 8 years.
Oh, wow. Okay.
We had a short film. Well, first it was a stage reading. So we just simply had like a stage reading in a theater at the Fountain Theater in Los Angeles. And then we did the short film, which was a proof of concept. And it made it into festivals worldwide. And that's when we partnered with the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. And then from there, it took a few more years after that, and we really started doing a grassroots campaign, and we partnered with other domestic violence agencies and really started doing work and partnerships with companies like Kind Bar. They donated snacks and all different corporations. And then we just released, through Gravitas, for the United States, like I said, February 23rd. And then under my umbrella, Love Wins Productions, we did the additional 64 countries on July 23rd.
Wow. I mean, how else would you say you were impacted by the quarantine, as far as this film goes?
We weren't really, thankfully, because we, the streaming market is stronger than ever. The theaters closed. We did have a theatrical release, but it was virtual. We did theatrical through Lemley Theater in Los Angeles. And then, it was the right timing for us to release streaming wise because everyone was sitting home.
Absolutely.
Watching film. So, and we're everywhere you can buy and rent movies. So every streaming platform has Donna Stronger Than Pretty available. iTunes, Amazon, Apple TV, Fandango, Tubi, Vimeo, anywhere you could think of that. And any platform that anyone uses to stream the stream film we're up on.
Awesome. Well, I'll be sure, I'm going to be sure to check it out tonight on Tubi. So have you been back on set? I mean, we were talking offline. We actually had to reschedule our podcast, you know, last week because you had an audition. So that's, I mean, it's outstanding. It's fantastic to hear people are back on set. How are you back on set? What have you been doing aside for that one audition? Any other auditions?
Yeah, I just popped back in like as an actor because I producing and directing really took over my life and the film festival. So luckily I have a supportive team that helps me run and navigate all that. So I'm able to get back to my passion, which I know my mom, you know, she always supported me doing that. So I know she's happy that I'm back to that. And I went out for New Amsterdam for the third time. And then A.V. Kaufman called me in for a feature film she's doing. So just really getting back to it, but it feels good to just audition at this point. But yeah, all, you know, I always update like anything that's coming up. So I might have a shoot in September, but we shall see.
Outstanding. Yeah. I mean, it's just great that us creatives, actors, filmmakers, what have you, are back on set, back in the field, back on location. The Army. I mean, listen, you've been on a film set. If you've been on a film set, you kind of know the majority of the Army. It's hurry up and wait.
Yeah.
it's you know, dealing with you know, insubordination and hotheads and ego heads.
Oh yeah, well, like there's just a lot of ego in this industry.
Though. Just do what I tell. There's a lot of ego in the Army, and it's like, listen, I've seen it on set, and I've seen it in the Army. The, you know, so I'm a staff sergeant, and I'll have, you know, sergeants and specialists under me, mm-hmm. and if something doesn't go their way, you know, a couple of days later, you see them chumming up with captains and majors and sergeant majors. And it's like, that's not going to help. You can go to them and you can complain all day long. And the second they come to me, I'm going to tell them exactly what happened. You can chum up with them. You can try to rub shoulders with, you know, six ranks above you. It's not going to help. When you've got, you always got like on set, you always got like, you know, set dressers that are, they think they don't have to answer to the AD, so they're going to just jump straight to the producer and director. And I'm like, all right, you can do that. And then 5 minutes later, they kicked you back to me. And it's like, listen, you're going to just do what I'm telling you to do. And
yeah,
it's good. Come on. I'm going to make my day regardless of whether you like it or not.
So. Yeah. It's definitely like a lot of navigating that. I'm really fortunate. And that's why I've kept the same crew on, and I work with a lot of the same actors because it's like the little, you know, almost like the group theater in that aspect where you want to work with people that you like.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, you take a look at, I was just watching Clint Eastwood's The Outlaw Josie Wales, and he worked with all those same people in all those Westerns and a bunch of those Dirty Harry movies. You saw all the same actors.
Yeah,
popping up.
To know them, and I mean, like the cast of Donna is like our extended family at this mm-hmm. point. You know, we've been through so much together. Kate slept in my mom's bed. My mom gave up her bed and was at her parents' house, and Kate really walked every footstep, like down to the laundromat she used to go to and the streets in her hometown. And you know, as an actor, that was really wild for her and brought her closer and got to wear some of my mom's jewelry pieces and clothing and like, you know, so yeah, people like that show that much dedication and time and respect is, you know, you want to bring them back. You want to keep them working.
I mean, even creatively, someone's like, man, you got to work with a different actor, like all the, and like, but why professionally and productively? I know all of us collectively get the job done the way we need to get the job done. But creatively, if you're an actor, you can play all these different characters that I need you to play. If you're an actor,
yeah,
I can use the same four actors to play all sorts of different characters in the Wild West, you know, Victorian, you know, World War II, future, a horror movie, Cabin in the Woods, all those different movies, and use the same group of actors because they're actors. They're pretending. They're gonna act like somebody else.
Yeah, as long as they're good actors, and they,
yeah,
you know,
as long as they're good, yeah.
Sometimes it comes down to just character matches too. I mean, that really helped me as an actor realize, you know, when you see the production end of it, it's like, wow, there's so many people who give great performances, but you know, we need someone that had blue eyes to match the parent in the film or show that had, you know, a similar look. So it's really great perspective for an actor to have some type of production experience, because I think actors can definitely be the biggest egos on set, unfortunately.
And oh, yeah.
And they don't realize that they're lucky to be there always, no matter what, how much they have under their belt, and you know that they're lucky if they're a half a percent of what goes into it. So.
Yeah, yeah, you're absolutely right. And I love acting because, you know, like we discussed, the military experience, the military police, the MP military police experience. That's pretty much the only roles I'll take is police roles, detective roles, military roles. And I love acting because, you know, I'll memorize my lines. I can connect to the character. I'm really typecast the hell out of me. It's going to make your job easier. I'm really good at the law enforcement and military roles. And I play on my strengths. You know, the military experience is my acting school, real life method acting or whatever it's called. And my three-step process is connect with the character, memorize the lines, know the lines front and back, and then comfortable in front of the camera. That's all it is for me as far as acting goes. But I'll sit in the green room for a couple hours and I'm watching TV or I'm watching Netflix on my laptop, or I'm booking other gigs, or I'm working on side passion projects. They might call me on set for 45 minutes, do a couple of takes, All right, go back to the green room. Okay, drink some coffee, you know, eat some snacks, relax, you know, just take a nap. And next thing I know,
the actors have, you know, it's a vacation compared to the jobs on the production.
And the actors with egos and the actors with that are so high demanding, like, why? It's so easy already.
Yeah. It's, you get to do, you know, it's an important job. I don't want to take away from it because.
Oh, yeah.
But you get. It's the one of the best jobs in the world because you're treated well, and I think the art, you know, the part of it that celebrates the art and why actors are just as crucial as the crew is because, and the respect of the emotional places that you have to go to, and then you are the product. So
you are the face. Yeah. Of this movie. Yeah. I mean, you know, like, think about it. You're the face, the poster and all that stuff, and the billboards and the trailers.
Pressure for sure. You know, so it's like a whole other different kind of pressure. Maybe not. But yeah, so you need that, you know, an actor needs that green room time a lot.
Yeah.
Especially if they're day in, day out. But yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's easy. To an extent, I make it easy and I make it simple on myself. And like I said, I know my strengths. I always just take the mostly, I mean, 95% of my acting has been detective somebody.
Yeah.
And so I make it easy on myself and I get there early and I've got my car kind of set up to where like I'll have extra wardrobe stuff and you know, backup you know, accessories for this, that, and the other thing in case they need it. Because I am an SME sort of when it comes to law enforcement and when it comes to that character and interrogations and stuff like that. So,
yeah, oh my God, that's like, you know, even with the most prepared set, you know, if there's something authentic that they can use legally, you know, without any copyright or whatever, you know, any worries about logos and all that, it's definitely, that's an asset, of course, to have someone and bring that authenticity.
But again, for me, I make it easy and I make it simple because I love that process, that work, that you know, that creative environment. I love set life. I'm doing what I love, being on a film, whether it's in front or behind the camera. So that's where that ego goes out of the way. I'm going to make things simpler for me. I'm going to enjoy the perks and enjoy the work.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's one of those phrases, you know, sometimes people just don't realize how good they have it.
That's
kind of mentality. Well, you know, back to Donna, Stronger Than Pretty, back to your acting, your production company. What's next on the agenda? What's the next set of plans? What's next on the agenda? What's the next set of goals for Jarrett Martino?
Yeah, the production company has a few projects on the slate in development, pre-production and something in post. And then distribution-wise, once we have our live event, we're going to have the Love Wins Film Festival and Voices Rising. The plan is to do our live event April 2022.
Okay.
And then we set a goal of distributing a dozen films a year. So really picking the winners, the feature films that align with our message, which is women's empowerment, diversity and inclusion, and LGBTQIA messages. So any film that we can get behind that way and bring on board and distribute through the Love Wins distribution channel. And then for ones that we fully take on for distribution, doing a full streaming distribution as well with iTunes, Amazon, and Apple TV. So that's all on lovewinsproductions.net. You can find everything for the production company, the distribution, and both of our film festivals. Dawn of the Movie, of course, is out and streaming everywhere. That's dawnofthemovie.com. And I've achieved a lot in the past 8 years, and my break is getting back to acting, my own acting career. And the next plan right now is I won an award at the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence. So I'll be at the National Press Club on September 21st, accepting that award and being a part of the conference with the advocates and survivors. I think there's set to be like 500 people that are joining us at the conference this year. So just
outstanding.
Excited about that and really honored. It's been a lot of work, and it's everyday work that, you know, some days it's easy, and then the days I get emails where someone's really caught in a situation, it's hard to hear that, you know, it breaks my heart, but it keeps me motivated. So that's it in a nutshell. DonnaTheMovie.com. It has all the streaming links of everywhere we're streaming right now, and internationally and here in the United States. And lovewinsproductions.net.
So outstanding, man. Congratulations on the award. Before, I know you, we talked a little bit offline before this, and I know you're a busy man. You got time restraints. What drives you?
What drives me?
What drives your career? What drives your personal life, professional life? What drives you?
creating change, you know, that always is the mission of the company, is creating awareness for subjects deserving attention is the easiest way to put it.
Okay.
Just anytime I can help other, I've been in a lot of situations where and empathetic, and it, film has helped me, and producing has helped me kind of give a voice to the voiceless and help me personally just navigate certain things that I've been through. I think that's the beautiful part about art in general. Like, we get to explore all these things and be in these spaces that a lot of people run from on the day to day. And that's a really important part about artists in general, that we bring attention to things that need more attention or that need to be addressed. So.
Outstanding, man. Well, Jarrett Martino, actor, writer, producer, director, Donna, the movie, donnathemovie.com, Donna, Stronger Than Pretty. I can't thank you enough for coming on. Don't go anywhere. We'll chat a little bit offline, but it was great chat. It was great talking with you. Great having you on. Learned a lot. And I'm excited about the movie. I've been seeing the
ads out there. If you want to become an honorary member of the Zombie Squad, send me some, hit me up on any of the socials. Send me the name that you want to be credited as a honorary member of Zombie Squad. Send me your favorite one or two profile pictures, avatars, what have you, your profile pictures on Instagram, Facebook, whatever, and we can squad you up. I will make you an honorary member of the Zombie Squad, and I'll design all this stuff. I'll design a t-shirt, I'll design your logo, your whole Zombie Squad kind of profile, if you want to be an honorary member of Zombie Squad, and give you the options to buy a t-shirt, to buy a phone case, to buy a pillow, to buy a tapestry, to buy a hoodie, to whatever the hell you want. But if you want to be a honorary member of the Zombie Squad, let me know. And
they gotta put in the work though.
All they have to do is send me one or two of their profile pics, and they'll be an honorary member of the Zombie Squad.